Thank you so much for tuning into a service with Hope Family George. We hope it inspires you and helps you with your journey with God.
We'll always be holy forever. What a great way to start the month, hey? In God's house, worshiping Him, putting Him in His rightful place. So, so, so good. Really amazing. You can take your seats for a moment. Thank you so much, worship team. Well, we've started going through the book of John, and I think every book of the Bible is my favorite, but John's definitely my favorite. And it's just amazing, amazing book. And he makes these incredible statements. The way that if you love language, you almost fall in love with the way that John writes. He makes these statements, and he puts these words together in a way that are so powerful and so intentional. And they're really impactful, and they've got so much truth behind what he's saying. And so the stories that are recorded in the book of John are both instructional, but they're also inspirational at the same time. And you learn from them, and you get encouraged by them, and you see Jesus as he really is. But also we see ourselves as we really are. And so there's this one particular narrative, one particular story of what happens when John the Baptist baptizes Jesus. And then just after that, Jesus then starts baptizing as well. So John the Baptist is on the Jordan River, and lots of people are coming from all over. The Bible actually says that people are coming from everywhere, and news about who he is and what he is spreading, and the Pharisees and the religious leaders have got questions, and they're going to John the Baptist, and they're like, "Are you the one? Are you the one?" Like, no, I'm not the one. Okay, are you Moses? No. Are you Elijah? No, I'm just the forerunner. And then Jesus comes, and John baptizes Jesus. And then Jesus sets up ministry. He starts baptizing people just down the river. Just down the river. So John, crowds, thousands and thousands of people from all over the nation, all over the surrounding nations are coming and getting baptized by John. John's got these disciples. And they love serving John, and they love the status. Hey, we're disciples of John, following his teaching. And then Jesus starts baptizing just down the river, and this freaks the disciples, John's disciples, out. So they come to John, and they say this in John chapter 3, verse 26. They came to John and said, "Rabbi, the man who was with you on the other side of the Jordan, the one you testified about, look, he is baptizing, and everyone's going to him." It is almost like the panic in his mind, like, "Stop him. People are leaving us and they're going to him." And John's response is so profound, yet so simple and so, so, so important. And we read it in verse 27, the very next verse says, to this John replied, "A person can only receive what is given to him from heaven. You yourselves can testify that I said I am not the Messiah, but I'm sent ahead of him. The bride belongs to the bridegroom. The friend who attends the bridegroom, attends the bridegroom, waits and listens for him and is full of joy when he hears the bridegroom's voice. That joy is mine, and it is now complete. He must become greater and I must become less." Wow. There's so much in just this response that John gives. And I'm just going to pull out four statements that I think almost like they need closer attention. Because the temptation whenever we read in the Bible is we can read it too quickly. Sometimes it's like, slow down, like read it again and read it again and read it again. And so let's just take a look at some of these statements that he says. The first one in verse 27, he says, "A person can receive only what is given to them from heaven." A person can only receive what is given to them from heaven. We can only have what God gives us. We can only have what God gives us. And so often we can fall into the trap of trying to live a life where we're trying to get and we're trying to grab things and we're chasing after things instead of just living with an open hand like this. Not tight-fisted, not holding on. We can only have what God has trusted us with. We can only have what God has given us. Yes, we need to trust God and pray bold prayers. And the Bible does say we do not have because we do not ask. And so we do need to ask, but we need to grab after. We need to know that God is the one who gives us good things. In the Old Testament, the book of Deuteronomy, God rebukes the Israelite nation and time again says, don't be tight-fisted. Don't hold on to things. And often think about that. Like if you hold your hand very, very tightly, you can't fit that much into your hand. But you can fit a whole lot more into your hand if you live like this. And that's what John is saying. Hey, I can only have what God gives me. But if I live like this, I can hold a whole lot more in my hand. But if I also live like this, God has the freedom to take anything out of my hand at any point in time he wants. Because it's not mine anyway. He's actually just trusted me with it. I also need to realize that God is the source. That I need to look to him as my provider. My provider, not just of finances, but of peace and joy and comfort. That he is the source of my everything. And I can only have what God gives me. What a great reminder, hey. When I read these statements, these four statements, it makes sense when later on we hear that Jesus talks about John the Baptist and says that John the Baptist, the greatest man ever born of a woman. In other words, the greatest one ever having a natural birth. So outside of Jesus, the greatest man that ever lived is John the Baptist. And if Jesus says that, that's got to be true. But what made him so great? I think it's summed up in these four statements. I can only have what God gives me. The next statement he says, which is so important, it seems obvious, but actually we need to stop and think about it. He says, I am not the Messiah. I'm not the Messiah. Can you just nudge the person next to you either and say, hey, you're not the Messiah either? Like, we often think that it's up to us. Like, we're the ones that have got to fix everything. And sometimes we have an overdeveloped, look, almost an unhealthy sense of trying to be the Messiah to everybody and keep everybody happy and hold it all together. But actually, it's God. Lots of things that we think are our responsibility are not our responsibility. They're God's responsibility. They're God's responsibility. That's difficult. It's difficult for parents. Amen? It's difficult for leaders. It's difficult for all of us. God, this is yours. You're the Messiah, not me. You're the answer, not me. You're the one that can fix this, not me. And as I was praying about this morning, I just thought that the best thing we can do is just come before God and say, God, only you can do this. Only you can fix this. Only you can fix that person. Only you can fix this situation, God. Only you can do this. I can respond to what you're asking me to do, and the Bible does say that God does respond to faith, but actually it's only God. I'm not the Messiah. You're not the Messiah. Nobody else is. Look at our country. Waiting for a Messiah, waiting for a political answer. God is. God is the only one that can actually heal our country. He's the answer to everything. Third statement he makes, very, very, all these statements, he says, the bride belongs to the bridegroom. The bride belongs, what is he talking about? He's talking about the people. So these people, the bride, Bible talks about the bride as being the church, the bride of Christ, which is the church. It says the bride belongs to the bridegroom. And for obviously us as leaders, and maybe you're a leader, small group leader, the people are not our people. God is the senior pastor of this church. It's his church. These are his people, and we have the responsibility to look after the people that he's trusted us with. The bride belongs to the bridegroom. But that's true, not just for the church, but actually it's true of all of creation. For everything. Everything. All everything actually belongs to God. All our money actually isn't our money. It's just been trusted to us. We're actually stewards of everything. We're stewards of our relationships. We're stewards of our health. We're stewards of our finances. It actually all belongs to him. The bride belongs to the bridegroom. God, this is all yours. And I'm here to worship you. I'm here to submit to you. And I'm here to use everything that you've trusted me with to lift you up. And then he comes to the next statement, which is the big one. He must become greater and I must become less. He must become greater and I must become less. Some translations say it like this: he must increase and I must decrease. Hey, it's awesome. It's awesome when God blesses us. But actually, it's not about us. It was never about us. It was never about you. It was never about me. None of what we do is about us. It's always about God. He must increase and we must decrease. It's not about us. It's not about me. Rick Warren wrote a very well-known book called Purpose Driven Life. A few weeks ago, Nathan and I, and we were actually just talking about it, and Nathan made this statement at another church. We said the opening line of the book or the Purpose Driven Life is, it's not about you. Like, it's not about us. It was never about us. We have to decrease and he has to increase. And if we're trying to chase after life and trying to grab it and trying to be somebody, we're going to end up being very disappointed. But if we live our lives to serve God and others, if everything that we do, we're trying to lift up God and lift up others and build away from ourselves and towards the Lord so others may live, that's the life that pleases the Lord. That's what God's looking for. It's about him. It's about others. Obviously, during our time of prayer and fasting now, he must increase and we must decrease. That becomes so much true. Like you become sometimes weak. You do a little bit, you're missing something. You're losing something. But if you're fasting food or something else like that, there's times when you fast, you might feel like tired, and you're feeling less of energy, and you feel less of what you used to be because you're not quite as, you don't physically have it all together like you used to. But actually, that weakness is beautiful because it's a reminder to us that he must increase and I must decrease. Like sacrifice and going without and saying no to things is a good thing so that we can say yes to God. Saying no to some of our desires and our wants, and even if they're good wants, even if it's a good thing, just saying no to that, to say yes to God is a good thing. He must increase and I must decrease. And God honors that. He responds to that. He blesses that. So even with us coming this morning like this to First Saturday prayer, putting our first Saturday of the month aside and saying, God, we're going to come and be in your house. We're going to come and worship you. God, we're going to come and exalt you. God, we're going to make sure that you are in your rightful place, that you are number one in our lives, Lord. You are number one. You are number one. So all we're going to do now is I'm going to pray, and we're going to actually go into another song. I'm going to invite Dion up and the team. But would you stand with me to your feet? I'm going to ask the team to put these statements up on the wall and on the board again, and let's just read them together. 1, 2, 3. A person can only receive what is given to them from heaven. I am not the Messiah. The bride belongs to the bridegroom. He must become greater and I must become less. What statements, hey? As we go into this next song, as we go into our personal prayer a little bit later on, let's reflect on this. These important, important truths for ourselves. Let's pray. Lord God, right now we just come before you and submit ourselves to you again, Jesus. Submit ourselves to you again, God. We want to become less and we want you to become more, God. We can only receive what you give to us from heaven, Jesus. That's all we can have, Lord. We are not the Messiah. You are God. The bride belongs to the bridegroom. It's all yours. Everything is yours, Lord. Everything is yours. It's all for you and for your glory. In Jesus' name.
Stay in touch. We'd love to hear from you. Send through your prayer requests, praise reports, or any questions you might have to 062-214-2814. That's 062-214-2814.